The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, the cold weather has definitely arrived. Snow already in the Golan. Wow. The hills, the Galilean hills in the north, also getting snow today. And the residents of Jerusalem are waiting patiently for their turn because apparently snow expected in Jerusalem later today as well. So, yeah, we've had some wet, stormy, cold weather, lots of hail, lots of rain. But the snow is going to be the real treat, especially if the holy city will be coated in it today.
Yeah, I do hope that actually they do get some snow because they've been talking about this for days now.
They have, expectantly, and apparently the municipality of Jerusalem is stocked up with salt that they, to the grit in order to clean the roads. So lots and lots of money, lots of preparations, machinery, all at the ready to make sure that the system will continue to work. People will be able to move around the city in spite of the cold and snowy conditions. So I hope that ultimately it comes their way, because it would be a little disappointing if they've made all these preparations and it doesn't happen.
Absolutely, absolutely. Russia and Israel have been holding secret talks about Syria. Well, no longer a secret, but what are the details of these talks?
Well, I think the details are still a little secret because we don't know a lot. They've spoken about humanitarian issues. So in a statement, they said that Russia and Israel have been in intensive contact in recent days on humanitarian issues. What's interesting for me is that the contacts have been not only at the level of the foreign ministry, in other words, the two foreign ministers communicating with each other, but also the respective defense ministers, Benny Gantz and Sergei Shoigu, also have been communicating with each other. And we understand that even telephone conversations have been held between Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu and the Russian President Vladimir Putin. So it seems to go right up the chain. And just explaining it as humanitarian issues seems somewhat to be downplaying the situation, because I can't imagine why the two leaders would need to be directly involved in, so-called humanitarian issues. So I'm not really quite sure what to make of these contacts, whether there might be something brewing that would be a little surprising for us. We do remember that the Russians were very helpful in securing the release of the body of missing IDF soldier Zachary Baumol, which was returned to Israel in 2019 from Syria. So what we understand is that the humanitarian issues that they're talking about, or that they refer to, relate to the Syrian civil war. And so it seems to be something Syrian related. But more than that, it's very, very difficult for us to understand. We understand that the Israeli ministers, cabinet ministers, were actually summoned to an urgent meeting, and that Zoom was not used for this meeting. Apparently, Zoom wasn't even sufficiently secure for the meeting. And so they did it by video conference rather than Zoom on a secure link. So it seems to me that there's a little bit more to it than simply humanitarian issues relating to the Syrian civil war. But we don't want to get above ourselves at the moment with speculation. So I suppose we will just wait and see what comes out next.
Yeah. I saw an article somewhere that Russia and Iran are conducting some exercise, some naval exercise as well. So Russia's definitely playing all sorts of, very strange games within the space.
Yeah, I mean, Russia's contacts with Iran have always been a thorn in the side of Israel for the longest time, because we know that, Israel has been trying to conduct and maintain good relations with the Putin administration. And certainly during certain periods of time, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu met with Vladimir Putin more than any other international leader. There was a period of time when, there were very, very frequent meetings between the two. So there's constantly this attempt to keep good, cordial diplomatic relations with Russia, knowing full well that Russia is certainly assisting Iran, supplying arms and weaponry to Iran. We all know that. So it's a strange relationship, and we have mentioned it a few times before, because for whatever reason, the Israeli government has never taken more severe action protest against this seemingly close relationship that Russia has with Iran. By the way, I don't think that they necessarily close because they have sentiments towards each other. I think it's just simply Russia taking advantage of the sales opportunity that Iran presents to be able to sell some of its arms and ammunition. That's all. I don't think it's anything more than that. I don't think Russia particularly supports or doesn't support Iran's causes. I think it's just a business relationship more than anything.
Yeah, it's really absolutely fascinating. Hezbollah and a leader Nasrallah has again issued a threat against Israel. I got excited when I saw that headline originally this morning because it said Nasrallah warns Israel that it'll show them something they've never seen before. And I thought, you know, I'm desperate for new Netflix movies and series. I thought maybe that's what he was sharing. Turns out that that's not what he meant at all.
Well, it might turn into a Netflix movie, Howard. You never know with these things.
It is true. Starts in Israel and then it founders around the world. Yep.
Exactly. So I think from what I can gather, I mean, Nasrallah made one of his very, very classic speeches where he warned Israel that little flare-ups and little altercations may well result in a war. And that Israel doesn't necessarily want to see this war because Israel will see things it hasn't seen since Israel's inception. And it seems as if, though, these comments have come on the back of this IDF training exercise that's been going on, Vered HaGalil, that we discussed, the Air Force. 85% of the Air Force personnel were apparently involved in this massive training exercise. And I think that it seems to me at least that Nasrallah might have felt a bit threatened by the extent of this exercise. First of all, the fact that it was a surprise exercise in order to try and get people in from home as quickly as possible. The fact that the Israeli Air Force managed to strike something like, you know, in virtual terms, 3,000 targets of Hezbollah and Lebanese targets in the space of 24 hours. And the exercise started with this notional fact that a Hezbollah missile had hit an Israeli Air Force fighter jet. And in response to that, the entire Air Force was scrambled in order to participate in this very broad offensive against Lebanon, including attacks against infrastructure, power plants, bridges, airports. So it was a very, very extensive exercise indeed. And it seems as if though Nasrallah might have felt a little threatened by it and felt that he had to at least come out and make some sort of a statement, if nothing else, to try to reinforce the morale of his own supporters. Because when you know, people see such a massive aerial exercise and knowing full well that Hezbollah has absolutely no air power at all and even has little power to be able to shoot down an Israeli aircraft. I mean, that particular scenario seems quite far removed, but I suppose that the Air Force is obliged to simulate it just in case it does happen. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, even if it's very unlikely. So, you know, even then Nasrallah, of course, came out saying, we are not interested in conflict or war. Of course not. We know that. They've never shown their desire to enter into a conflict or war before, have they? But if it is forced upon us, says Nasrallah, then we will fight. And then he came out with this classic sort of Nasrallah warning. So I don't know that anything really new has transpired here. What's certain is that Hezbollah have had a lot of training and exercise in the war in Syria. And even though there are some people who feel that Hezbollah was stretched because of the involvement that they've had in the Syrian war, I think that the truth is that more that they've had just more opportunities to practice and to become a little bit sharper in the field through their training and through the battle that they've been going through in Syria. And so they might be readier, if anything else, for a conflict against Israel. And they've certainly tried over the past few months to create some sort of a situation on the Israeli border. I think Israel's intentions are always to try to limit the extent of any altercation or any conflict that might arise on the northern border, but to be ready for something which is much broader than that. And it seems to me that Nasrallah was feeling a little threatened by this whole exercise, and so had to come out and say, say something. You know, as always with these things, one can never really tell what's going on behind the scenes, because the messages that are being sent out are being sent in order to address a certain readership or a certain support group, rather than necessarily reflecting what's going on in reality. I mean, in Nasrallah's bunker, you might find that absolutely nothing is happening, but he just feels the need to somehow send a message to his supporters.
Yeah, what a, I mean, and it's the same type of language over and over again. So it's very hard to actually take it too seriously, although Israel, of course, has to do that. We don't have a lot of time, but I do want to talk about this fairly quickly. Israel's house prices have continued to rise despite the slowdown in the economy. What is behind this price increase?
Well, there's a lot of speculation about why house prices have continued to rise. And I'm going to start with a fairly startling statistic. And the statistic is that the price of an average home in Israel is 1.574 million shekels. When I say an average home, I mean an apartment, because most Israelis live in apartments. So we're not talking about private homes with sprawling gardens and swimming pools. A very, very modest apartment, 1.5 million shekels, that equates, if I can do the sums very quickly, to about 7.5 million South African rands at the current exchange rate. So that is the average home in Israel price, and it just gives an indication of how expensive housing in Israel really is. The two reasons that have really been given for the increase in housing prices over the last few months is, one, because of the political uncertainty. People have speculated that the public like to go into something which is a little bit more certain, and apparently property is something that people like to buy when government shows some sort of dysfunction, and apparently that was evident as well during that period there where we had all of those elections. People were buying properties more and the prices were going up. But also, I think that during the recent pandemic, there's actually been a reduction in the number of new apartment buildings and homes that are being built. And because of the reduction in the supply, the price has gone up. And surprisingly to me, at least, the main house price rise took place in Jerusalem, where the price was going up something like 7 or 8% annualized over the past 6 to 8 months. There was another statistic that was published which showed that December of 2020 was one of the busiest months for mortgage taken in Israel ever. So that just goes to reflect how busy the property market is in Israel, in spite of the fact that the economy, for example, retracted last year by more than 2%, and yet people are still buying new places, taking out mortgages. Very surprising.
Absolutely. Incredible. What a strange and miraculous country it is. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.